Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome to the Sports Media Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Deitch. My producer is Patrick Antonetti. One guest on this episode, but a familiar one to anybody who reads sports media. Andrew Marchand is a senior sports media columnist for The Athletic. Of course, spent many years working for the New York Post and ESPN. And now, in a very short amount of time, he has made his second appearance on this podcast, which we appreciate very much. Andrew Marchand, welcome back to the Sports Media Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Richard.
And we're back. How does that sound? Is that like a good Martian?
Yeah, and we're back.
All right. Listen,
say that Oran's covering hockey.
We will do, I'll just for the sake of the Martian Oran podcast, we will do Who's Up. You're welcome to do Who's Down as well. But before that, here's where I want to start. We have a lot to get. I mean, obviously, me and you can go, as we did last time, 15 hours. We're going 40 minutes on this one because both of us have to work today. So I want to get your take on Tom Brady. He goes on, by the way, I had not heard of this podcast, but kind of an awesome idea. Deep Cuts with Vic Blends podcast, where I guess this famous guy who cuts hair just cuts these famous people's hair and they talk to him and tell him stuff. Awesome idea for a podcast. So Vic Blends asked Tom Brady about coming. I'm sorry for laughing, but the story never ends. Vic Blends asked Tom Brady about coming out of retirement, and Brady says, open quote, "I'm not opposed to it. I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner of an NFL team. I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape, always going to be able to throw the ball." For our purposes, Andrew, sports media purposes, if you're Eric Shanks and the rest of these guys at Fox Sports, like, are you concerned at all? Is Brady just sort of talking like you? Because like the reality is like Tony Romo's not going to go on Vic Blends and say, I'm still in great shape. I may come back one day. So how did you read this one?
Yeah, I think you're less concerned because you have Greg Olson. If you have a guy who's already done a Super Bowl and done well, it makes your concern a lot less. If they didn't have a good number two and you're bringing in Brady and it's Super Bowl year, which it is, I do think your ears are a little bit perked. I don't think there's any evidence really that he's not doing it. I think I'm not going to get into it fully here, but I know some things behind the scenes that he's doing were obvious. I don't know if they're stories or not, but we'll save it for our publication. They're obvious. Like he's training to do this to be on Fox, and so I think he's into it, and I think he's trying to be good. And you've had people I think say it, and he said it everywhere where he's. People have mentioned he's reached out to them for advice. So, he's definitely into it. The idea of him playing, though, I think when you look at a Tom Brady, I don't think you can fully rule it out. I know he kind of joked about it after in a tweet, but I do think if the right people were to get hurt with the right team, with the right chance to win, like you heard Tom Brady was coming back, it wouldn't be like, wow, that's shocking, right? If you heard Peyton Manning was coming back after injuries that he had, how he ended his career and as far that he's been out of the game, you'd be like, wow, that's crazy. Brady, at this point, I don't think it would be that sensational.
So if you're Fox management, you saw it and you just continue to approach things as they exist now. He's calling all these people to work on stuff. I'm sure both of us probably know that, the people who work on Fox NFL have been in contact with him many, many times, and they're approaching it as if the season starting. Maybe in some ways, just like until Brady, for lack of a better phrase, ages out, like this will always occur. Like someone will ask him the question and he's, and because he's Tom Brady and a competitor, he's always going to say, I'll keep my options open.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has aged out already, quite honestly, but he kept going. Like, he's like a, you know, medical marvel, what he was able to accomplish. And for as long as he's been able to play, as he approaches 50. So, you know, the game's changed too. Not allowed to hit guys, I'd still argue. He never won a Super Bowl, but Dan Marino, you put him in today's game, and I'd love to see what he would do in terms of winning. And
no, you know, I think he would. As long as he wasn't on a really bad team, I think he would have won a Super Bowl in this year.
100%. Like, you weren't allowed, Bruce Smith used to smash him, you know, every play. And so, but that's another story for probably a different podcast. Yeah, I think you go about it business as usual. But Brady's not business as usual. It's going to be, you know, you could argue this year that's the biggest story in sports media. It's going to be one of the biggest NFL stories.
Yeah,
this isn't, you know, even Peyton was different because he didn't go in the booth. You know, he kept saying no to the booth, and then he did his Manning cast. And so, yeah, that was a big deal when he did it. But he's going to be in the booth. It's a Super Bowl year. You know, Olsen's done well. And it's Tom Brady. So, like, everything he says will be magnified. If he criticizes somebody, it's going to be headlines everywhere. And so, you know, there's a lot of attention that goes along. And when he calls that game that first Sunday, 4:25, on Fox, all ears are going to be open and listening to how does Tom Brady sound. And this has become kind of another sport in, you know, just everywhere, from Romo to Brady to Joe Buck to Ian Eagle to Jim Nantz, et cetera, et cetera. But I think with Tom Brady, it will be another level.
So two more things, then we'll move on from Brady. One, and this really hasn't been talked about so much, but, you know, what if he does, like, get some kind of ownership deal? It looks like maybe with like the Raiders, but, you know, let's just sort of hypothetically just say generic ownership deal for an NFL team. I know, like, broadcast networks, like, during our duration of covering this, essentially almost don't even consider anything a conflict anymore. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Shaq owned a team. A-Rod is a part of Fox, and you know,
Hill,
he has his,
a piece.
Yeah, Grant Hill. They're all so. Like, does that even matter anymore? To me, and I feel like when I started in the quote unquote business, I was much more hardcore about this. Maybe I've just become more cynical. I feel like, you know, I'm a big tennis fan, as you know, and everything in tennis is conflict of interest. I mean, you know, Roger Federer, the wife of Roger Federer's agents interviewing Roger Federer before he goes out for a Grand Slam final. I mean, like, it's all conflict of interest, but I don't know. Like, there is something very odd to me about Tom Brady calling NFL games if he has part ownership in the Raiders. But again, maybe I'm anachronistic here. How do you see that's not really been talked about a lot. How do you see that?
No, I think you're right. Like, if it was a journalistic endeavor, you're 100% right. I think that you could, like, I don't look at Tom Brady or really most people in a booth as journalists. They're storytellers. They're dealing in the truth. But it's a little bit different. That said, if let's say the Raiders, you know, that's an AFC team, Fox, even though it's a little bit different nowadays, you know, the NFC championship game would be on Fox. But let's say the Super Bowl, the Raiders made it to the Super Bowl. Yeah, that's a little bit of, if he's owning part owner of the Raiders, it's not exactly perfect.
Do you just not assign him to the Raiders? Is that the way you get around it?
It's what? Oh, not, yeah, I mean, you could do that. But I mean, look, Brian Greasy used to play for Michigan, and Bob Greasy used to do the games. I don't know. I think you could do it. I think Brady could be very critical. I mean, that is the interesting thing with Brady. He has a lot of opinions. He mentioned Johnny Miller in one of his interviews back, you know, a while back, in terms of someone he wants to be like, which would be amazing. And so he might be very opinionated. But, like, I don't know if he's doing the Raider game. I think people, you know, what we do and then social media sometimes get caught up, like, is he going to be critical? And, like, the job to me isn't necessarily being critical. It's being fair and explaining things. Like, and I think when the best TV executives put these people in the best position to succeed by, like, I want to know what Brady sees. And, like, yeah, would that partly be critical of a quarterback? Like, why didn't he see this? But explain to me. I mean, I think that's what Peyton does very well in the Manning cast, is, like, he's orchestrating the show and watching on a you know, on a screen in his friend's basement, and like he sees things in the defense, and you're like, whoa, that's pretty amazing. And I think that's the level we want to hear from Brady. And so I think if he delivers that, I think he'll be fine.
And that's why I think he's actually gonna be good, because I think he can do that. I think he's kind of a nerd at heart when it comes to football. And I, as long as the communication skills are there, I can see that. All right, last one. We both agree that Brady on Fox is probably the biggest story of 2020 for sports media. Comparing this is like apples and tangerines, but you would agree, or I shouldn't say you would, do you agree the general public would be more interested in how Tom Brady does than the coming, let's say, if eventually comes of the joint venture between ESPN, Fox, and Turner? While that is obviously a potentially massive sort of sports business story, I don't even think it's close to me. Like, I think the public far is more interested in how Tom Brady does versus, oh, there's these three mega powers who could, you know, form their own Avengers basically and charge you, you know, however much money for it.
Well, first off, I want to compliment you for catching yourself, because one of the things Oran used to always love to do is like, we think this. And it's like, no, I don't.
Yes,
you know,
good
I don't
point.
Think what you do, John. So he loved to do that, try to couple our opinions together.
Seemed like he wanted, you know, not surprising. I think he wanted first billing, and this is why he's at Puck. By the way, we will get to John Oran, because we have a Who's Up coming in tribute to the old Oran Marchand podcast.
Marchand Oran.
Marchand Oran. My bad. You're right. Yeah, right.
To answer your question, yeah, I mean, the public is always going to be more interested in the famous ex-athlete who's considered the greatest, you know, football player of all time over. And I look, I've said this, I wrote it the first day that story came out when we were talking, you know, I had a column that night. The Spulu, as people like to call it, the sports Hulu.
Who named it Spulu? Who is the originator?
I think Jacob Feldman.
Spulico, wow.
That's kind of,
if he called that, that's a pretty, that thing has gotten a lot of attention. So if he is the person who originated that, like, props to him. That's gone.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm sure there's some like,
Somebody's gonna get mad at me now.
Like, right. Yeah, like you know, Jacob 679432 says, oh, I said Spulu. Look at the timestamp. But right. I don't know that for sure, but Jacob's a good guy, so let's give him credit.
All right, fair enough.
And I believe he's the one who did that. But I think Spulu is a little overrated personally. It's just like, I like unbelievably overrated. Now it is three humongous companies, and you see those superpowers getting together and your ears perk. And I know when I first saw it, I was like, holy crap. But when you break it down, this is basically just a skinny bundle, which means that it's just another way for you to get content that you want. And it's three sports entities getting together, and you get their other content as well, but it doesn't really solve the problem. Like,
it doesn't, but the properties they have are, you have to admit, are really good. Like, I get it's not the NFL.
Not enough, though.
Yes,
like,
I agree.
Yes, but it doesn't cost enough. Like, you can compare it to YouTube, which I did in that first column.
Yes,
right?
I agree.
It's going to cost $40 to $50, as we accurately reported that first day.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to cost. And it probably, you know, eventually get more to that 50 than 40. You got YouTube TV at 70 plus, and you get basically all that stuff. Now there will be a little bit there. Again, this is the problem with all this stuff, is nothing solves all your problems. So I think it's a little bit overrated in terms of the impact that's going to have. And what ESPN is trying to do is place as many bets at many different price points as possible to reverse the number of affiliates that's going down. The cable subscriptions keep going down. They want to stop that and have it start going up again. How do you do that? Well, you offer this. This is from ESPN's point of view. They're going to offer their own direct-to-consumer that's just ESPN in 2025. They're still on cable and satellite, yada, yada, yada. So I think, yes, Brady's bigger, but I also feel like Spulu is a bit overrated. I'll break it down a little bit more. Is that for Fox, they haven't got into the subscription streaming game. This is just additive money. They haven't, you know, their strategy's been pretty good. They haven't put all this money into sports streaming. And then Warner Bros. Discovery, I'm not exactly, you know, don't fully understand like why they're involved in this, but they are. But the idea that they're going to bid together, I think if you really look at it, doesn't make any sense. Because I could get deeper into it. I won't bore you, but I think it's a little bit overrated, the whole thing.
Okay, fair enough.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile.
From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, we'll go to here's topic two. I wanted to just sort of stay on top for your old podcast. And then we'll do topic two is going to be the NBA. We'll do women's basketball after that, and then we'll do who's up. So the NBA playoffs are about to start. Kind of an amazing like last day to get all the different seeding. It's almost, if in some ways, it felt like the Premier League, where like a lot of crazy stuff was happening. But this is all going down sort of within the larger framework of NBA media rights, something you've obviously reported a lot about over the last year plus. The NBA is kind of interesting to me in this sense. The viewership numbers are definitely challenged, like at the moment, in terms of like what the NBA finals will do. You know, the regular season numbers, like within the ecosystem that exists today, they're not bad, but they're nothing like they used to be, right? They're just sort of, it's in some ways, it's like every other sport that has like that much inventory. But, and here's the important but, the demographics are fantastic. It's a young person's watch. It's global. It has so much potential because it is a sport that always brings in new stars that millions and millions of people can attach to. So you can understand why the media rights are really, really valuable, right? Like you sort of get it even within the challenges. So as we start the playoffs, Andrew, and I have no idea, like, again, because Golden State and the Lakers are likely to go out early, I'm not sure the viewership numbers are going to be so hot in the NBA Finals. I guess we'll see what happens. But I think they're going to get a massive increase. And from everything you've reported and others have reported, it seems like ESPN absolutely continues. Seems like Warner Brothers Discovery, even as you mentioned, sort of you're not sure of their strategy. I think their strategy still is to keep, you know, at least some part in the NBA. It seems almost at this point, I would be stunned if Amazon doesn't get a piece in the NBA. And here now I lead all this filibustering to ask you this question. Are you still within your reporting that those three look really, really good? And then you were someone who put out, I think you might've been the first person to break this, that NBC might have interest in this. I think the NBA has to get a streamer, and I think they ultimately will. But then the real interesting question to me is like, how many traditional partners do they want in addition to the new streamer? Well, how do you see this?
Yeah, so couple of things there. I may be working on a piece for our publication.
Okay. Don't give up. Don't give up anything. But you know.
Well, no, I reported. Look, you hit a lot of it on the head. I should say, although I knew about it before, Alex Sherman from CNBC first, I think, put out NBC. Although, dog, I knew about that. that's my Frances impersonation.
Right.
Yeah. I did know about it before. I think he's the first one who wrote that. So give him the credit.
Props to him.
So yeah, I think ESPN's gonna get it. The thing is, everyone wants less regular season games. They don't want the regular season. The question that's facing the NBA is, you know, do they have enough prime real estate? Playoffs, you want to count the All-Star game, you want to count the in-season tournament to, you know, break it up into three entities. That seems like they could do that.
You consider postseason, the in-season tournament and the All-Star game, they're three, whatever you call it, most premium packages. I would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, opening day is something.
You know, yeah, like, that's true. Christmas?
You look like Amazon, right?
Do you consider Christmas still that, or because the NFL has swallowed it up, it's not as big?
Yeah, it's not as good. The NFL is very greedy. Those are their major, you know, but the playoffs is really, like, I mean, the in-season tournament, agreed. We can make that. I mean, they had the Lakers this year, but you got Utah, Minnesota on a streamer. I'm not exactly sure you're going to get, you know, a lot of viewership for an in-season tournament championship. They had the Lakers. But there is some value to it. The problem with the in-season tournament, which I like as an idea as a soccer person, understood it very well. And I think that was kind of the divide when this thing came in. People who were soccer fans were like, whoa, this is a good idea. People who weren't were like, this is stupid. And the only issue, though, as compared to soccer, it does devalue the rest of your regular season games. It's like we're saying these regular season games are kind of more important and they mean something. All right, let's go back to our regular schedule of programming. And that's their problem. that's where like the regional sports network situation also comes in to play with the NBA. You know, they're not as reliant on that, but it is a big deal for them as well, you know, with the Bally Sports and Diamond Sports, Sinclair having so much difficulties. So, you know, that's a factor. So do I think ESPN? Yes, they stay. NBC and TNT Sports, which, you know, they change their name every 5 seconds, but Nate Smeltz, his latest update to me, it's TNT Sports, we're supposed to call him.
Good. Just good random Nate Smeltz, like inside baseball drop.
Well, it's hard to, yeah, I wrote it. I said WBD Sports. It already changed to TNT Sports.
What is Nate's official title now? Is he talent prep? What is he? Development like director of talent?
He's like, I don't know. He's like emperor of talent or something. Something important. Like that, very important, yeah. Nate Smeltz.
Following the great Tara August, the hard shoot.
Exactly. Yeah. Big job. And still heading PR. So I think you look at Turner and then NBC. Yeah, they want it, NBC. I mean, I don't think, you know, this is an incumbent world. If you are already paying the money, there's more of a chance of you continuing to pay the money where the media is right now. People aren't at a stage where they're looking to just add billions of dollars, which obviously that you, if you get a return on investments, but you know, these sports properties cost so much, you know, it's hard to necessarily justify it. Unless you're, you know, you have like, if you look at ESPN, for example, their big push for their future is streaming and these direct to consumer platforms and to being as attractive, you know, basically to be a must have for everybody. So yeah. I'd be shocked if ESPN didn't have it.
Yep.
For TNT Sports, I think they have a very good chance of keeping it, but I wouldn't say definite. I think NBC could get in there. And I think Amazon's the most likely streamer. I do think this is something that John and I used to argue about. Like, he always was like, this is great. Like, John can't respond here.
I know. I like
so
it.
Let's
it's
just
excellent.
Crush him more.
Especially, yeah, especially when the what's up and what's down is coming. But yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he'd always be like, the Amazon should have like the Super Bowl. And it's like, you know, you just, there's a vig to get in, right? You don't get in at the Super Bowl. You get in on Thursday night.
First of all, I'll take a shot at Orand here.
Yeah, let's do that.
That makes, it doesn't make sense for the league to do that because you can't go, like you just said, you can't, if you're the NFL or whatever. Yeah, they have a proof of concept on like Thursday night football. But do you know how big a risk it would be, regardless of what money they're paying, to give them like just a random Super Bowl in like 2027. That's just not, when you have a business model that is so exceptional when it comes to like network viewership, like you don't need to do that. I mean, yes, me and you, we've had this conversation a million times. Like the NFL is probably the greediest organization like out there. But I mean, I think even like it's what, you know, whatever Amazon might offer, I don't think it's necessarily worth it to then excommunicate all your other business partners, which you ultimately need, I think, to maintain this ATM. Anyway, this is just
I agree. And so, but the other thing about like Amazon and Apple, YouTube, Google, they're not like upstarts trying to get into the media business. They're the biggest companies in the world and they look at themselves that way. So when they negotiate, they're not just like, all right, just we need to get in. And this is 1993, Rupert Murdoch, you know, just taking a sledgehammer. And
they want the Amazon wants big postseason stuff, right?
That's exactly. What they want big stuff. But they're going to be, in my opinion, they're going to be disciplined. Like, I don't think, like, obviously they're going to pay a lot of money for it, but I don't think it's just like, if they don't get it, they would move on and they'd go from there. You know, then the question is, you know, I don't think, you know, I think Netflix could have like a, you know, having conversations, but I don't see them that interested. Apple's always a wild card. They want exclusivity. You know, could they try to get a day where they own all the games of that day? Yeah, maybe. But again, you also have to look at where your business is going and what that does to the consumer and how the consumer feels about that. And if you're just, you don't want to, like, it's a very tough thing because you want the money, but you also have to have the visibility. That's why I think NBC has more than a punter's chance, because
interesting.
If you look at it from the outside, you say, well, you could be on ABC, you could be on NBC, broad distribution. You know, you probably have to, there'd be a Peacock component, I'm sure. But does that make more sense than, you know, sticking where TNT Sports, obviously they have Max, which is a behemoth as well, but it's cable. They don't have the broadcast component. And so, you know, I think it will drag on a little bit longer to get to the money, to get to the deals. That would be most likely what would happen. But I don't know. We'll have to see how it plays out.
One last thing on this. One of the things I heard from Nick Khan, the president of WWE, on the Town podcast, and thought this was a really interesting point. I think he's very, very good and plugged in when it comes to obviously other deals outside of WWE. He said the big thing for ESPN would be the All-Star Game because of the hospitality element, because it provides them a really good event to bring in all these clients and like well-heeled kind of people to entertain them. And they don't really have anything similar to that. His point was that if you bring them in, let's say, for the college football national championship, well, if you're not a fan of those two teams, maybe it's a little bit different. I would be like, you know, it's a little, I mean, like, you're ridiculous to me if like you're not excited to go to like a national championship game. But, you know, you see his point, right? If you're like not a, if you're going to a, like an ESPN like college event or something like that, you got to be like a fan of those two teams. But here, the All-Star Game, he thought, was like something where you could bring in all sorts of people who are important to your business. And that's kind of an interesting property to have. And I thought that was interesting because Turner obviously has had the All-Star Game forever, right? So that would be an interesting flip to me if ESPN takes that. And then my only question would be, does ESPN put that on Plus, or would they still keep it on ABC, ESPN? Maybe the NBA insists that it's on a network. But I think that's interesting because like that All-Star Game, even though the viewership numbers are down, it's, you know, it still draws 6.5 million, 7 million, still a real number.
So, yeah, so Nick said that a couple of times. The first time he said it, I looked into it. I don't think that, at least at that point, that wasn't the plan. Now, Nick kind of runs sports media, so maybe there's like a Jedi mind trick, and then it will become the plan. But at one point, when I first looked into it, it didn't seem like that was really what ESPN was. They didn't value it as much as he said they should. Perhaps that will change. And obviously, if Turner were out of the equation, then maybe that comes in. But also, that could be a carrot for an Amazon or an NBC.
Or NBC, they're like the Olympics is such a hospitality play, right? I feel like they would. The Ebersol world of like wining and dining people.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, I can't really speak to like how much that works into the economics and all that. I don't really know. The answer to that. But it is something that the game kind of stinks. I mean, they do kind of have to figure that out.
Yeah.
But it still rates. It's still
unwatchable
well.
This year. Yes.
Yeah, unwatchable, and it does rate well. I mean, that's the bigger issue. There's a couple of things with the NBA that I think that long term doesn't matter if they get a lot of money. They have to figure out. Number one, it shouldn't be like you guys might play or might not play. Now it feels like it's been a little bit better this year, maybe with some of the rules about the MVP and all that stuff. And for, as far as I could tell, it's been a little bit better. But that's one thing. And it also shouldn't be like, if you tell people something's not important, they're going to believe you eventually. So the players act as if the All-Star Game is not important. So you're telling me that as a fan, it's like, okay. And here's the third thing I'm going to bonus. I've said this a number of times. And, people, have gone into politics and this and that and NBA. I think the biggest issue for the NBA, and it's an issue for everything in media, but the NBA specifically, is social media, because it's so easy to see the great plays without watching the game, that young people are conditioned to that. And even older people,
I agree.
You can easily see that and again, I've said this before, so I'll say it quickly here. But when we were kids, if you wanted to see Michael Jordan, you had to be on watching NBC at 1 o'clock, maybe your local news at night, maybe SportsCenter or CNN Sports Tonight. Maybe that's how you see those. But again, you better be on point with your schedule. Better not have to go to the bathroom, all that stuff. Now, LeBron does something great. 3 seconds later, it's on 15 times. You can't miss it. And so I think that's a problem for viewing games. And how do you solve that? And last thing, the big thing you're going to hear about the NBA and their negotiations is global. And I've fought with the NBA sometimes because they put out things that are kind of inaccurate. On that one, they're dead on. I mean, they are well-positioned. Soccer and basketball are the most well-positioned in terms of global, which is where these big companies want to be. Like, that's what Amazon and Netflix and all these. And yep. I think Disney, to a point that they want, they think globally. They don't want just domestic rights. They want global rights. And the NBA is very popular around the world. So that's a big plus for the NBA when you look at their cards that they have.
Yeah, well said. That's why I think Amazon's going to be a long-term partner with them for that global aspiration.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's do what's up or who's up, not what's up.
Who's up? Yeah, who's I like up? When you call it what's up. I thought what's up was kind of like you're doing a little satire with it. So I like.
No.
I know you didn't mean to, but I actually
an absolute screw
it.
Up on my part.
I'm calling
yeah.
it what's up because, quite honestly, they are legal negotiations between the Post and Sports Business Journal. So who's up? You might get sued.
I know. I hope not.
Up.
Although,
so let's do what's up. I like what's
all right,
up.
What's up and what's down. All right. So first of all,
do a what's you only hold on a second. Just for the record, because now I'm giving behind the scenes, you texted me for a who's up. You did not say a who's down, so I took the pass of no who's down.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll just do who's up on this, because right. mostly because I don't want to be sued because it's not an exact replica, right, of the SBJ podcast. By the way, who was the voice on that? You had like a woman's voice who did that, like as sort of the who's up, who's down, which was awesome. Who was that person?
I mean, there is a humongous production
like voice actor, right?
Yeah,
we had
there's a voiceover person.
You guys have
there's a lot of mixed reaction. Some people liked her, some people didn't. Very successful podcaster told me that he felt like it slowed it down. We took her out without even announcing it.
Who told you that? Rogan?
Joe Rogan. Yeah. Good guess. He had one guess. It was Rogan. Me and him were tight.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to cheat a little bit because I have multiple. So who is your who's up or what's up this week?
What's up? My what's up is Andrew Catalone, whose name I always say wrong. Catalone.
No, that's correct.
Andrew, I said it right? I always say it wrong for some reason. Anyways, regardless, he has the great honor of being my first Richard Deitch what's up is Catalone. The reason is Vern retires. You did a nice piece on him in The Athletic. Everyone
Thank
should
you.
Read.
Yeah.
And beloved, 40 years, the whole thing. Catalone, you would think, is going to get the 16th hole.
He's on 14 now or 15? He's on one of those two, right?
Yep, definitely one of those. He's going to move to the 16, I would think. And so I think that's a great opportunity for him. Raises his profile. David Burson, who's now the head of CBS Sports, is a huge fan, which makes sense since he, you know, they hired him. And I think that, you know, it positions him even better. We saw the progression with Ian Eagle on the Final Four. You know, so there's like that maneuvering as the changing of the guard a little bit at CBS.
Is he part of your what's up or who's up as well for his NCAA work, which was fantastic this year?
Yeah, he's very good on the NCAAs. You know, I mean, like
he and Lapis for the last 2 years have had some great finishes.
They've been big on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's very good. Like Ian Eagle's by far the best there.
Well, yeah, we're not comparing the two.
I know I'm giving you my hierarchy. I was going to give some juice. I thought Catalone, he's improved a lot as a play by player. So, you know, good job by him getting even better at it. So he's my what's up. Who's yours what's
All
up?
All right. You know, I mean, it would be easy to do Lundqvist, obviously, but I feel like, you know, I wrote about him. He's, you know, an incredible career. Great send-off, actually. I was really, really happy for him. He's been a fantastic broadcast. You know, interesting enough, Andrew, you may find this interesting or not. Maybe you knew this already, but he never wanted the SEC on football job. He thought it was at one point like kind of like this, you know, I've always wanted to lead a package. I think he thought he should have been Nance in some ways, but, you know, but Nance got Nance.
I think in a lot of ways, not in some ways, but
yeah, that's right. And then he gets the SEC football job and it turns out it changed his whole career. It just made people think differently of him. You agree? All right. So that's
I agree. No, that was very good for him.
Do you want to go longer on the women's ratings and tournament, or should I just make that a what's up? Well, it's either going to be women's basketball viewership or O-RAND. How would you want to talk about? You know what? Let's make it O-RAND.
No, I think you should do women's college basketball as your what's up, and your what's down is should be O-RAND.
Okay. So my what's up is
Let me add. The reason it should be is cuz O-RAND used to say to me like people want to be who's down. Like
what?
Are you kidding? We used to say, nobody wants to be who's down. He did not understand.
Yeah, he may be my who's down now. Well, I'll do him now anyway. I'm just going to change it up. Down. So the reason why I have him up is, you know, the guy obviously has a fantastic career at Sports Business Journal / Daily. Moves to Puck, which clearly seems like an awesome financial opportunity. I think he probably got part ownership of that. Those guys are getting a lot of press. But more than that, the guy goes from like hanging out at these conventions, like these Sports Business Journal conventions, right? To he writes in his Puck newsletter, he's partying at a French ambassador's residence in DC. So that's like the Bob Woodward kind of like DC kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like hoity polloi kind of level.
Yep.
He's at WrestleMania all of a sudden. I've never known this guy to be a big wrestling fan. And now he's partying with Nick Khan and Mark Shapiro, probably in Philadelphia. I assume he's heading to multiple Orioles games as the summer goes on. And I guarantee there'll be other like large scale events that he'll be part of Puck. He was working in Puck's like New York City office, like that overlooks some fancy part of Manhattan. I forgot which. I don't know if it was Soho, but he was downtown somewhere, cool, like a cool area of New York. So this guy's profile has, I feel like, soared since he left SBJ. You agree? And left you in the podcast.
I mean, yes, it's been clearly a good move, number of levels, one to get away from me. Number two, look, trying to get in contact with John now, you have to go through a couple of people.
Infuriating. I agree. I invited him on this podcast, and I think I'm still waiting for him to return that text.
Yeah, he got a couple of assistants. It's like assistant one, assistant two. He's one of those types. And so you're not sure which assistant you talk to. Look, I'm happy for him. Now, John, and in all seriousness, John's a great guy, does a very good job.
We agree.
He's, you know, Puck is an interesting publication.
We both agree, Puck, but we both are if we were to bet, we're betting on Puck to make it because it falls into what you said, either big scale or tightly, like a small, tight staff.
Niche, but provide something unique and different. Important voices.
They
like to Puckify things. It's kind of funny. We laugh about that.
I know.
I was at the Post. And the Post has some, you might know, the Post has some headlines that can be pretty strong. Now he's at Puckify. I give him a little reviews on if he Puckified the stories enough.
I think his style, and this will be by the way, we've already gone way too long on O-RAN.
I think people like this O-RAN.
His style, I would say, coming in was not necessarily Puckified, but it's becoming more Puckified. Do you agree?
The fence straight's like their big words.
Like his prose he's getting out of the SBJ, which has its own kind of stylistic kind of way of writing, to more Puckified. You agree?
Well, I do love, yes. I mean, yeah, some of our private I do get through to him sometimes. I do say like this NFL, like he made like a big deal about the NFL college playoff, if they're going to be able to schedule the games. And like it's in like these Twitter ads they have. I'm like, we all know they're going to schedule the games.
Yeah, of course.
This is not that big a deal. The games will be scheduled. They're going to happen. The NFL, they're mad about something. The NFL's mad about everything.
Part of the Puck sell is, of course, is Puck will take you behind the curtain. They got to sell that, right?
Everything's very dramatic.
I know.
I like it. It's very dramatic. I look forward to my private email.
Earlier
in the evening.
I worked for SI for many, many years. We sort of in many ways made the same claim that we were going to take you behind the curtain that nobody else did. All right. Last one. It's your story that you broke. I'll let you just sort of riff on if you want for 5 minutes or 2 minutes, and then we can get a finish with women's basketball. So how much should I care about MLB Sunday morning baseball on Peacock not being on Peacock anymore? It's not like I've been watching it a ton anyway, but yeah. I like the idea of Sunday morning baseball, though. I actually think that is a cool thing for MLB, but honestly, just between like Apple TV and Peacock, like these two packages have not popped, in my opinion, for an audience.
Yeah, look, I think the larger question is national baseball in a streaming world doesn't have that much overall value outside of the World Series and the playoffs. And so, because, you know, this has been the issue for, you know, Sunday Night Baseball, which does 1.5 million people per Sunday. If the Yankees or Red Sox are playing, you get to two, maybe above two. So, you know, the preceding 2 days or the succeeding 2 days, you have the exact same matchup. So that makes it not that special. And so when you throw games on random places like Apple TV Plus or Peacock, you know, the Peacock deal, though, is that was very creative and inventive because of where they put the games. And it was a real exclusive. The problem with the Apple stuff, and I think Apple maybe originally wanted all the games, like I mentioned earlier about the NBA stuff, they wanted all the games on Friday. And I think MLB, you know, asked for a huge number for that. And so it didn't make sense. And I actually don't know if that would, even if they got a huge number, it's just going to make everyone mad, like for one game a week. I don't know if that was the best business strategy personally, but it did happen. So, but the Sunday morning games, it gives it, there's a runway. The problem is not enough people watch these things. Like I've heard nobody's ever, you know, Apple doesn't give up numbers. Peacock doesn't give up numbers. I've heard some numbers from.
They got to be low. You don't have to, you'd say them out,
no,
but they're low though. They have to be
low. They're like,
yeah,
they're.
Yeah, I get it.
Low,
they're low. I understand. Right.
And so, and it just makes sense. It's if you use your noggin, right? Like if we're saying Sunday Night Baseball, which is exclusive, is getting 1.5 million.
Now yeah, just lower. But maybe they just want to be in business with the baseball, and this is like a good trial balloon to see long term. Maybe
it's not big money, like you know, $30 million. I mean, for them, about Tom Brady, he's
rounding error,
7.5. So it's less than what Brady's going to make. But that said, they're not in position. You know, back in the day, they would have sent $30 million. All right, we'll keep it. We like baseball because NBC does like it. Yeah. But, you know, $30 million now, they're going to think about it. And that's $30 million they could, you know, give to the NBA for a bigger deal that's going to move the needle more.
All right, last thing. We'll finish up on this. So, you know, obviously, anybody who's listened to this podcast knows that I'm a big women's basketball watcher. I covered it for Sports Illustrated for many, many, many years.
Wait, you like women's basketball?
Yes. Thank you. I'm invested in the, it's good comic timing there. I'm invested, obviously, in the sport. So here's the thing. I think, you know, when we went back and forth on The Athletic, we kicked around the notion that the women's final could beat the men's final. You were actually pretty declarative, more than I was, and so kudos to you. Obviously, it turned out to be the case.
Prior to the tournament.
Right? Prior to the tournament, absolutely. We should caveat it, if Iowa got to the final. Both of us were like, if Iowa's not in the final, it's not going to happen. So they pull 18.9 million viewers, game peaks at 24. Maybe as interesting as everything else, Andrew, you know, the final four numbers, 13.8 million viewers, most ever by like, you know, a ton. They get 7.2 million for NC State and South Carolina. So they get a massive number for a non-Iowa game. All the games are up 121% from 2023. So now two things on this. This gets us to one. How much can you get some of these casual fans to sample the product next year? And if you get 5 or 10%, it's game changing. If you get 2%, it's a lot. And then the other interesting thing to me is, can Caitlin Clark have, she's not going to have nearly this effect on the WNBA, but can she have an effect on the WNBA? And if she does, well, that changes the calculation for their rights deal, which is coming up. So you can take either in terms of how you see women's college basketball heading forward, which is mostly an ESPN Fox enterprise, and then how you see the WNBA, which has multiple partners, but really ESPN is sort of the dominant partner in that property.
So number one, I would say, I think Caitlin Clark can have a huge impact on the WNBA. I think I might've said this to you last time, but I've said it a number of times, is that it's how she plays, okay? People like to make everything about everything it's not, and kind of everything has to be some like global discussion.
Yeah.
The way she plays, you want to watch her. If there was one player, I said this in our Q&A, one player in the world right now, male or female, that I could watch tonight, she's playing in a game, or he or she, it would be Caitlin Clark.
Wow.
She's the most entertaining player to watch. Well, who would it be for you? Like who?
I figured you'd pick Aaron Judge or Juan Soto just as a former.
No. I didn't say any sport. I said basketball.
Are we talking pros as well?
Yeah. any basketball player, if you, tonight, you can watch one game, one, like, you're not even fair to ask. You're probably gonna pick somebody on like Southern Miss, some woman on Southern Miss nobody heard of. Be like, oh, I love watching her. She's great.
I do love Juju Watkins of USA. No, I honestly, if you're asking me for basketball and you're allowing me to put the men in, I think it would probably be LeBron, Wembanyama, and then the next level is Caitlin Clark and Juju Watkins. Some others.
I'd be Caitlin Clark. I wouldn't be.
You pick Caitlin Clark over LeBron.
Right still. Now, if I could watch.
39-year-old guy putting up those numbers? That's an amazing story.
I'm saying if I could watch tonight, I love watching Caitlin Clark.
Okay, I'm happy about that.
But the point is, it's how she plays. So that's why I agree. Translate, you know, on the assumption she's going to do pretty well. I know Diana Taurasi and others are going to be like, she's rooting for Ritter.
It's going to be tougher for her, but talent ultimately wins out.
We'll see. Like again, Diana.
You're going all star first year.
I don't know.
Sue Bird said it could happen, and that's one of the greats all time.
All I know is like shooting should translate.
I agree.
These passes should translate. The speed of the game she seems to be fine with. You know what I mean? Like strength. Obviously, the strength and speed, and you know, you're dealing. You know, it's like anything.
All right. So to get you back on track. So you think it's going to have? So then, I guess my next question for you is like, all right, what's significant? Like, you know, these games usually do regular season games. Traditionally, have done maybe a quarter million. I'm talking about, and then you get to like an ABC game, maybe get you to 400,000, 450. Then you get to the finals and you're talking 700,000, 800,000 for the WNBA finals. Maybe it pops a million if you get it to like a game five. So what kind of, so let's say, all right, let me give you this. ABC, I think her second game is on ABC on a Sunday against the Liberty, which has Brianna Stewart and Sabrina Ionescu. You get a million for that? And if you get a million for
that's
a game changer.
That game would have gotten
300,000-400,000 before.
Yeah, I think they get to a million.
Wow. Then that is a game changer.
Her second game, I think it's going to be I think people love to watch her.
I hope you're right. That'd be amazing.
I think that she's different. And so then getting back to, let's get to your second question. I don't think there is going to be a residual effect of what just happened. But I think it has more to do with her than it has to do necessarily with the overall game.
For women's college basketball, you're talking about?
Yes. I do think there's going to be, that people are going to be more interested, but there needs to be, I think the comparison is Bird Magic, right? Back in 79. Right. And, you know, you could say it's Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, but, you know, I think, I'm not sure Angel Reese goes into the Bird or Magic category, but I think Caitlin Clark does. But whatever, there is that rivalry. So, but after there was Hakeem Olajuwon, there was Patrick Ewing, there was a guy named Michael Jordan. There was a lot of stars in college basketball that made the tournament what it is today. And then the NBA, you know, rose the same way. I do think there's a very good chance you could see that. Maybe not to the level of it, but you know, I think people forget that the NBA wasn't the NBA in the 70s, right? It wasn't. Obviously, we have all these stars.
Tape the late finals.
Yeah, tape delayed finals, exactly. So, like, people love to make, like, these. And so the league, you know, we can get into all the political stuff. And, yes, obviously women haven't had the opportunity. They've been behind. And so that's made it so, like, the progression has been slower. But if you look at the maturity of leagues, and the WNBA, I believe, is about 25 years old, that's when these things sort of happen. If you look at all the major sports leagues, they don't just start. It's like a different world. So like people want to compare NBA, WNBA. Well, yeah, that's not the same thing.
It's ridiculous. Right.
So I do think that she's going to have an impact. I do think that the college game, but the thing about the college game though, that they're going to need is they're going to need that next star.
Yes, and I agree.
And I think, Juju Watkins from USC, like she seems like a great player.
Paige Beckers is back.
But Juju Watkins, let's just say, for example, okay? She might be better than Caitlin Clark. I don't know, right? As a player, like if you're going to win, right? But just watching her play, she's smooth. She reminds me of Kevin Durant. Like if I were to like just like watch her game.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad parallel.
But again, give her time. But like,
but it's not the 35 footer from the logo, right?
It's not different.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone likes to make all these other things. I'd compare it to, you know, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, who was Chris Jackson at LSU. Like, he was different to watch. Like, it wasn't a, you know, phenomenon, but he was, you know, Phil Jackson said a few years ago, like, Steph Curry, that's who he reminds him of. And people went crazy, but it's like, if you were watching college hoops back in the day,
he's incredible.
Like, he was incredible. No, it was so much fun to watch.
I know where you're coming from. And I think, too, for someone like Juju Watch, just to get to a final, just to get to the champion. Like, you need to, you know, you need to be in the spotlight game. Even though Caitlin Clark didn't win two championships, she was in two championships. Like, last, the loss to LSU, in some ways, set up this viewership run. You would agree?
Yes.
Like,
yeah. Yes. And they're going to get the opportunity because, you know, you pushed for this for years. They put the finals on ABC. That was a big difference. Like, obviously, you know, everyone wants to make it men versus women, and it's understandable, and it's totally is a storyline. But, like, you do look at it, you know, the women had the advantage because they're on ABC. Now, you could say 3 o'clock as opposed to midnight. What time they start that game? No, 9:22 start for the Turner game, but that's on.
Did they bait and switch that one? Did they say 9 o'clock?
This is the thing I want to say to like you know, your big like proponent.
And then I'll get you. And then I'll get you out here. I know you got.
Yeah, what's the goal? What is the goal? Like, one day the women's final could be at 9:22 too, so everyone can complain about it.
No,
late.
That would be
right,
terrible.
Now they have a pretty good deal at 3 o'clock.
What about by the way, if the women's final's on Sunday, I'm fine on 3 o'clock. My next cause celeb will be putting the Final Four on ABC. But, and I will give this guy Nick Dawson. Have you ever dealt with Nick Dawson at ESPN at all?
No, but I know he is.
Nick Dawson said, and he's not wrong about this, he said the one thing with the Final Four on ABC is you got to remember it's a 5.5 hour window. It's not just like one game on ABC. It's like it's a full, like, long ass commitment on Friday, and it takes a lot of clearance. So I get that. Like, it's not, you know, in some ways it's kind of interesting. I just think now the and all the ESPN people know this. It's the ABC is sort of the tough part. Like, it does still make a difference, even in 2024, to be on a network versus cable. It just does. Like, that's just, 100%. I think you saw that with the men's basketball, right? Like, it makes a difference to be on TBS versus CBS. It's just households at the end of the day.
Well, and I also, here's the thing about it. Now, you could probably break down the WNBA TV deal, but I saw it's 36 out of 40 of Caitlin Clark's games are going to be national TV.
That counts everybody. Counts CBS Sports Network, ION, and
exactly,
you know, Amazon. So
like, but if I'm them, like, I put as many games as you can get on ABC and CBS, like, you put as many games, you just want that visibility. Agreed. And here's the other thing. Is when Caitlin Clark, you already see in the ticket prices, when she's in town, like, it's advantageous for them to be, for her and Indiana to be good.
It's an event.
I'm not saying like it's got to be natural. Of course, they can't fix anything.
You should, when they play the Liberty, you should go cover that as a media person.
I may do so.
You can do like a media. Like
you're Zach Pierce now. You're an assignment editor as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna. It's my now that they've hired you, I can slowly morph into a cushy editing job. Is our editing's job cushy?
I don't know. Zach seems to work pretty hard.
Zach Pierce is he edits Martian and myself at times, and I just so that nobody at the Athletic hears this, like, that guy works his ass off. That is not a guy taking time off.
Especially editing us. That's a,
I know. That's, and good for Zach though, heading to the Olympics, so he gets a little bit of a reprieve. And Paris, can't get a better city for Paris. By the way, I think both of us are in agreement. NBC's Olympics should pop, right? Paris is going to be changed. But no, we both agree, right? I'm buying these Olympics. I think these Olympics, it's not going to be like, you know, the days of Beijing viewership numbers, but Paris is going to do really well, and it's going to change the narrative of the last couple of Olympic cycles, which have been brutal. Will you agree on this? Yeah.
100%. No, Paris is going to be different. The ceremony will be different, and just the feel around it. I mean, just again, you're a big Olympic guy.
Exactly.
The Olympics, like, between COVID and the sites that they all were, I mean, they're just like
crowds. You get crowds back. It makes a difference.
Way. And so it's not, you get crowds back. I do think Agreed. You know, Riverson opening ceremony is going to be pretty spectacular with Tirico and Kelly Clarkson and Peyton Manning.
You notice how they have all these. Molly Solomon, by the way, is the head. She'll be. I've probably eventually be a guest on this podcast. She's the head of like their Olympic coverage. She's going very celebrity in terms of some of these hires, right? I forgot the woman's name, but the woman who has the that popular podcast they hired to do. To work on
call her daddy, is that
that woman, and then obviously Peyton Manning, Kelly Clarkson, that's a pure entertainment opening ceremony, right? As opposed to the traditional one where it's like, you know, more like it used to be like news anchor types who do it.
Yes, no, 100%. I think that's what they're going for.
You like it more? I'm more old school.
Watch, but I don't really care about the.
I want a cool. You don't want some cool geopolitical facts about the countries. That's what I like. Was Peyton Manning going to do that for me?
He might. Tirico will probably provide that.
That's true.
I'm not a huge Olympic guy. I like some events. I can't get really into the sports that I'm already not that interested. I just can't like turn it on. And then, you know, Ebersol with the whole...
I like Molly Solomon very much. I'm not the biggest fan of the whole Ebersol era. It just felt too clubby to me and too like
Yeah, it's more of like you're doing a reality show. You're trying to sell something.
Everything's got to be a story.
Which is smart. I'm not saying it's like it's smart television, so I'm not saying that. Just for me personally, I just like...
You like it live.
I'll rip magazine. You're a magazine guy at heart. Like magazine stories back in the day, right? Yeah. The quotes used to always be too perfect.
I agree.
Right? You go spend a week with somebody, and then it was always the articles like, the Barry Bonds you don't know. Like everyone else says he's a jerk, but we're going to tell you how he's a good guy, and here's all these perfect quotes that work perfectly in the story. And I'm not saying everyone was in cahoots. It just felt like that.
All right. Anyway, listen, you've been very generous with your time. I know you got to go. Is there anything else you want to get off your chest before you, because you haven't, I don't know the last time you've been on a pod. So if you need to get something off, get it off here.
There are pods. There are a lot of pods out there, I will say.
No, I know.
I will say there's a lot of pods out there. I don't know. I think I got basically everything, working on some things. We hit a lot of stuff.
Anything you need to you want to pitch that's coming up that we should be looking forward to?
No, just subscribe to The Athletic. That's my main pitch right now. I am working on a podcast idea, which will be eventually.
You got an ETA on that roughly yet or no?
I don't want to really put myself under the gun. Okay. But I think fall probably would be the
fall 2024.
Yeah,
good to start it with the NFL. By the way. That's not never
that's
a bad thing.
The thinking, that's the thing.
Do you think you'll be solo or with someone?
It's a good question.
Still to be determined.
Determined, yeah.
Okay, well, you can always get guests anyway.
Could get guests. I have ideas, but got to go fully through the process of figuring it all out.
All right.
But trying to just establish myself at The Athletic.
So yeah. Well, you've already broken a lot of stories. I feel like that establishment part's done. As long as, I don't have your contract in front of you, but I feel like you're fulfilling it. All right. Andrew Marchand is I don't even know his exact title. Is it a senior sports media writer?
Yeah. Columnist.
Columnist. I'm sorry. Oh, you have the columnist title. Nice. Senior sports media columnist for The Athletic. Follow his work on our fine publication. Obviously, the one social media outlet that I see Marchand generally speaking on is Twitter/X. Are you on anything? Yeah. I don't really see you anywhere else.
I mean, I'm technically on these other things. I don't do them. I started.
I'm on Threads, but I don't see you post a lot there.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I just do.
I don't
X.
blame you. It's a little too much. LinkedIn? Yeah. Are you a LinkedIn guy?
I am on it, but I don't.
You don't post.
So if you reach out to me, I will not respond.
Okay.
I don't
All right.
Facebook. I don't do. I think I might have a TikTok. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I do X. But even Ryan Glassbeagle gave me a great, if you do this thing on the settings, I can't explain on the thing, and you could just do it so like your response is only people, you only get the notifications of people who follow you, which is like a lot.
Yeah, that's game.
Thing.
That's pretty game. It's a good tip by him. That's game changing because the biggest issue with obviously that is just it's too much negative stimuli coming into your head. This is the reason why I admire the broadcasters who have just decided to bail because it can really F with your head if you
bail if I wasn't in this. Like, I think it's part of the job. I think
I agree.
People look at how many followers you have, but I try to do more output than input.
I'm trying. I don't think I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I'm not succeeding, I don't think.
No, I wouldn't bail. I'm probably too... I took 7 months off once, which I was proud of.
Why was that? Can I get into that or no?
Yeah. I just mentally needed a mental health break from it. Honestly, no other reason.
It's not healthy. That's the thing about it. And it's also very, it's a lot of, this is thrown around everywhere. And I'm not saying any sides or anything. There's so much misinformation. Yeah. I just know on my stories, there's so much misinformation that I see that I know firsthand is 100% wrong. And so, we're just, and the other thing is, I would say that people should be very wary of. There's no, like, I get it. Everyone hates the mainstream media, and there are definite legitimate criticisms, a lot of them. That said, there's a gatekeeper that you kind of understand. When you have Twitter X, you, especially when, like, it's not even your, we all get like,
You really get aggregated, and a lot of times incorrectly aggregated. So I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, but just in general, but that's what stuff I know about. So then you get into other things that I don't know as much about, and you get so much misinformation. It's really unhealthy for the world.
I agree.
And the AI, we're really.
I know.
I don't know.
But the again, we got to get out of here. But the larger issue is, it's still such a gathering place for what we specifically do. Media centric stuff that it's hard to walk away from. But I am with you 1,000%. It is horrifically bad for you, like mentally. So
I can make a pretty strong argument that it's not really that useful for us. I just think when you look at your future, it's important to people who make decisions.
Yes, you've nailed it. It's the bosses still overvalue it more than maybe the actual value. You buy that?
Yeah, I don't think all the bosses do, but I do think, like, I don't know. I made this point about ESPN. I can make it about all of us. Like, I try not to. The only time, like, I'll break something, if I just think, like, I'm in a race for time and it's better for, like, my publication to get credit for it. So let's just put it on X first. But generally speaking, my stories, we write the story and then we put it out there.
You're still probably, Yeah, I don't think you. I mean, I give the Athletic a lot of credit for that. I mean, obviously, you've been here much less than I have, but they've never been one to push you to put something on social before you write. Like, they're pretty good about, like, let's get it on our.
Yeah, I don't think you should either, though. Like, I don't think. I mean, I could make this argument.
But this is the insider. You know, this is the end. I mean, you know, there's less people in our world than, like, the Woj or Schefter world. But I get it. Like, I mean, you know, ESPN believes there's a business advantage if Schefter gets the information out before someone else, right? Whether it is or not, they believe it.
Yes, but I would argue, let's just say, this is the thing I always said. Let's say back in the day when Iger thought about buying Twitter, he had. Do you think we all would be posting to a Disney-owned company? Like, the first thing you get, let's say I was at the New York Post still, it's a better example. Right. The New York Times, either one. The first thing we do, we get information. We got an exclusive story. Let me go to Disney, who doesn't pay me, to put it on their platform, as opposed to let's wait and put it on our own platform.
I agree. It's absurd. And I'm guilty of it. I agree with you. You have made the right point. It makes no sense to make money for someone else, which is what you're doing with engagement.
And also, you even the click there. But there is something there, be part of the conversation. I think if you looked, I don't tweet as much. And again, we're going to go, I would say, and I know you, because you kind of go off the other topics.
Oh, yeah. I'm always 50-50 in terms of employment on what I'm tweeting.
It's not really that part of it. It's more of like, it's hard because there's some issues that really hit home and you really want to make a statement. I'm not sure if we're making such a difference by putting our thoughts on.
Yes, on that. Yeah. In some ways, all you're doing is adding to a loop that doesn't. That doesn't ever end or change anything, right?
Yeah, like I think, this is probably my last. I think what we're trying to do, like with what we're covering on X and what we're trying to do for The Athletic, is give you information and views that you can't get anywhere else or better than, you know, that's like the goal. And like when I talk about other issues, and sometimes you know a lot about it, but I don't necessarily, I feel like I'm kind of, if you went and looked, you probably could find, like, if I have a view on politics, for example, which of course I do, but there's probably a million people with the same views. And so
Like, what are you adding?
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking to you.
No. I was a poli-sci
major. He's like, I don't know. It's a catch-22. And people who follow me, do they just want sports media stuff? I would say that they generally do, because I know my reaction when I get people who are tweeting about things that they don't really. It's like, generally speaking, I don't really. It's like, okay, and or I agree with you. All right, it's good to know. And so I don't know, but it's a catch 22, because you could argue that we're in such times that you want your voice to be heard. I could understand that point of view as well.
Yeah, no, that's well said. Andrew Martian, I've already given him an out, as we say in the business, an outro, but I'll have to do it again. Senior sports media columnist for The Athletic. Check out his work. Andrew, you've been very generous with your time. Thank you. And I look forward to what is coming later this week. Follow Andrew Martian on The Athletic. Subscribe to his stories. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks.
All right, back in the studio. Wow, I really appreciate Martian giving me that much time. I did not expect to go that long. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I like when we can, me and him can go long, because, one, obviously we're working together now, but two, the guy always is plugged in and provides really, really interesting information. Head to the archives page. There should be other conversations that you will appreciate. The last couple, we had a mini pod with John Lewis on the viewership numbers in the NCAA tournament and sort of the Caitlin Clark effect. James Andrew Miller came on to talk about Norby Williamson leaving ESPN. Flora Kelly, the ESPN data strategist, came on. She was really, really interesting. Trying to think who else has been on here. Andrea Carter, Becky Lynch, Jack McCallum, Pablo Torre. Those are some of the last guests. And again, if you like this sort of stuff, please head to the review page. Leave us 5 stars and a nice note. That is how this podcast continues. Obviously very important to the company that I'm doing the podcast with. Want to thank Patrick Antonetti for all his hard work. We're now using a new system, and things seem to be going pretty good with that. But feel free to give us some feedback on how the sound of this podcast is. But I want to thank Patrick for all his hard work. Thanks to everybody at Odyssey for their support. And thank you for listening. We'll see you soon on the Sports Media Podcast.